The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. Amen. 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 Upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you. Amen. 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 Children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, evening, in your coming and joy going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Thank you, Primo.
Oh, namaste, Shanti Mahesh.
We get a chance, we're going to play that at Donnie's memorial, because you made one for Don, remember?
Yes, oh yes.
So next Sunday we won't have satsang because I'll be in Ohio, United States. Yeah, then Baltimore, Maryland. So there it is. Om Sri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Gurudev Bhagwan Ki Jai, Satcha Sangha Ki Jai. Before we open up the satsang for your contribution, I want to, it's silly to say I want to. Actually, that's exactly what I'm doing. I don't have to want to do it. Language is really important, and habitual language sometimes is so silly. So let us go over this point about the disinterested devotee, because I have a sense that it may mean that people just chuck it up. But the key word is devotee. That's the key word, right? And disinterested means, right now it means, I mean, everything can be looked at from so many different angles, but at this moment, disinterested devotee, that comes out of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is speaking about the disinterested devotee and how marvelous this one is. And basically, at this moment, because I'll repeat, you can see things in different ways at different times, and that cosmic timing is of great importance. Disinterested doesn't mean just to not be interested. It means to give up the world, basically, and whatever the life brings, because life is God, Beyond life is God, creation is God, destruction is God, maintenance is God. It's all God. Because we move through life with what comes and we're not complaining. And if some situation says no rather than yes, we go with the no. If some situation says yes rather than no, we go with the yes. And disinterested has to do with moving with life. And very disinterested in the world and what goes on in the world. And also, whether, as Max said one Sunday, whether he's ready or not, I was very touched by him bringing that to the satsang. Disinterested means I am or I'm not. I'm not interested in actually knowing. I'm just going down this ex incredible route, this dharmic route. I was looking at the kalpas when Krishna said that one who knows about 1,000 Mahayugas as the day of Brahma and 1,000 Mahayugas as the night of Brahma, the disillusion and the illusion of the world, that one really knows about time. And I was looking at the yugas and doing a little research because I like to do a little research sometimes. I learn a lot what I don't have any idea about. And I found that a very, very compelling sentence that comes out of Indian scripture that says that the Dharma is a cosmic law. It's not just something you can pick up and put down. It's a cosmic law, and it governs karma. So when you're with the Dharma in the sense of moving with the Dharma moves you. And when you're against the Dharma's against you. And you will have very little progression, so to speak. Then they said in the article, it was said, or was it? It was an article. It was said that the Dharma was represented by a white bull. Now, in Lakota tradition, the white bull is also the white buffalo. So that's interesting. But the white bull is named Nandi, and it's Shiva's vehicle and protector. And at Mount Kailash, there is a Nandi in front of the mountain, very, very evident. And that when the Satyuga, in the Satyuga, there were four qualities. The first one being, and I never remember the word Durga. She's not remembering either.
No.
Oh my gosh, my memory over there is not working. It's an aesthetic, but it's not an aesthetic. It's what is it? What's the word? I'm going to get the word because I made a note. That's why.
Austerity.
Austerity. So in the Satyuga, when the Dharma is established, like the stars are established in the night sky. And the day sky, too, we just don't see them. That there's four qualities: austerity, cleanliness, Oh my, I have to look at it. I have to look at my note. Okay, that's austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truth. And that this bull has the 4 feet of virtue and is as intrinsic, the Dharma is as intrinsic to a human life as air is. So when you realize that you are called to the Dharma, then you have the sense that your life is going to move in a certain direction, means inward. And when you're not called to the Dharma, you're still subject to the karma that the Dharma brings. Karma means there is consequences for your actions. That's what it means. Be it positive or, let's say, beneficial or not beneficial. However, I was very, very interested in this Nandi and the white bull of Dharma with the 4 feet of virtue. And I come back just for information. This is just information, wonderful information, but information nevertheless. That austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truth. It's not in that order. As the Satyuga goes away and the Treta Yuga comes into being, austerity is gone. As the Dwapara Yuga comes in and the Treta Yuga is gone, then cleanliness is gone. And when the Kali Yuga, which is where we are, comes into being, truth is beginning to disappear. And it seems that mercy moves through all of the yugas. Well, we have been brought to a wonderful place in our life where truth, and a capital T, small t, is upheld by people who are moving inwardly towards realization and living a really good life. Not lying, not cheating, oh, not stealing, not demeaning. So we're here to uphold truth in the Kali Yuga. And I also noticed on the forms of Nandi, the bull, the mount of Shiva, the protector of Kailash, that he sits with 3 legs folded under. And he sits with one leg not out straight, but bent. So this is truth. And it's quite a little bit bent there. And the other three, cleanliness, austerity, and truth, mercy. Yeah. So anyhow, that was just information that I looked at that I was very compelled by, particularly that Nandi the bull is considered the Dharma, and the Dharma is set into motion in the first day of Brahma as the stars are set in the heavens. So now I'm ready for you. The,
Will you share
yeah.
the Nandi, please?
What's that?
What is a Nandi?
What is Nandi?
Yeah.
A bull.
It's just the Sanskrit word for bull.
I'm sorry?
Is it just the Sanskrit word for bull?
No, Nandi is the name of the bull.
Ah,
Yeah, Nandi doesn't mean bull. Nandi is the name of the bull. Like Garuda is the man bird vehicle for Indra. But that's his name, Garuda. Doesn't mean necessarily man bird. So there, that was nice. No, Nandi is the bull that sits before Shiva. Anyone ready for satsang from your perspective? Oh my goodness, there's four hands up. Michael O'Shea. Hello, Michael.
Namaste, Shanti Mai.
Are you good?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good for being here with you.
You always say that. That's such a...
That's because it's true. Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to talk a bit about... I've been spending time with you with Chapter 7 of the Bhagavad Gita. I love this chapter. There's so much meat in there. But I had a couple of things I wanted to ask you. And one is a very basic thing, because, I look these matters up and I get conflicting things on it. But just in terms of, Atman and Brahman, and I think that Brahman is the God within and Atman is the universal God or the totality of God. Backwards. Okay, the Atman is within.
Yeah, Atman is your soul.
Okay. Okay. And
whatever that may mean. Yeah. Because it's very abstract for a lot of people, and it doesn't have a location except for within you.
Right. Right.
Whatever you carry through your life and how you are. And you can see how a soul is, so to speak, through how a person functions. For instance, what a marvelous soul. What a sad soul. Oh, this is such a desolate soul. So people can see how the soul functions through the life by the way people act. And that's a fact, you can. That poor soul. So they don't say that person, they say that poor soul. And that's a deeper sense of the person, because person means mask in Greek.
But it could also be thought of as God within. Yeah?
No. Yes, but everything is God within, isn't that everything, wonderful? Yeah.
Well, that's what, because some when I was looking it up, some people said it's all the same.
No, it's not.
And
Brahma with an A and not an N is the creator, which emerges from the imperishable, as Adi reminded us of this wonderful word, the imperishable. The creator is perishable. A thousand Mahayugas is a day of Brahma. A thousand Mahayugas is a night of Brahma. And when Brahma closes his eyes, the universe goes away. And then there's this imperishable, which I call God. Everything stems from this. I don't know what that is, but what I do know, or what I think I know, and what I feel I can see with my eyes and my heart and my soul, is the fundamental imperishable. Maybe not in the sense of the universal, but yet in the changes, it's evident. This is evident. I can't say it. It's like calling a child it. You can see in the changes that there is, within the changes themselves, an imperishable. I shall say, but it's feeble language quality.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, and then there's the part about the three gunas, yeah.
Yes.
And he talks about, because the three gunas being, and it depends on translations, I guess, but sattva being goodness, purity,
Yeah.
rajas,
Yeah,
rajas
right.
being action or passion. But then there's and that, but then there's tamas, which is ignorance or darkness.
And
And
lazy sloth.
but Krishna says they all come from me.
Yeah,
I
that's
thought
true.
that was interesting, that it all comes, she said, I'm not within them, they are within me, but that even the darkness, and that comes
Thank
from
goodness.
Krishna. Yeah.
I'm so touched that you see that. How can you qu disqualify God in anything? And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that these gunas are of the nature of life, basically, and that they're always moving. People are sometimes slothful, sometimes thoughtful, sometimes ambitious, that they move all the time. But a person can have a sattvic nature, but they would still have tamas and rajas going on as well, because the three gunas are like interchangeable all.
Yeah, which we are in our lives are interchangeable. It's, yeah.
And then
Yeah.
Krishna goes on to say, hold on just a second. He goes on to say that he is not touched, that these gunas do not, like you say, they stem from me, but they are not in me.
I said, yeah. They are contained in me, but I am not in them.
Right.
Yeah,
They are
yeah.
not contained in him.
They are, well, in my translation, it says they are contained in me, but I am not in them.
Well, that
The
they can't
entire,
be contained
yeah.
in him, not be in him. That's a wrong translation. Bad, bad, bad. Not good.
It could be, yeah. I notice when I'm listening to the transmissions that the book that you're reading is, sometimes the translations are quite a bit different than what I'm reading. But the other term I don't understand is Maya. I said, how hard to break through is this? My Maya made of the gunas, but he who takes refuge within me shall pass beyond Maya. And I looked up Maya and I couldn't find a definition that.
Read it again for me, please.
Okay, how hard to break through in this? My Maya, made of the gunas, but he who takes refuge within me only shall pass beyond Maya, he and no other.
Yeah, okay. What verse is that?
So this is seven, or this is, well, I don't have the book I have, doesn't have them.
Oh, it doesn't. Okay. This verse says that this Maya is very difficult to overcome, but one who worships me, who is devoted to me, will surely come to me. So this means, and Krishna's speaking about the fundamental self. He is embodied in his own yoga maya. I love that. He has come through his own yoga maya, which means absolute union with God is yoga. And maya means the illusion. So, yes. But he is speaking about you and what is fundamental to you and to all of life and to all beings. So when he says, come unto me, he's also speaking about the inner I am. In the chapter, he says, I am a lot. And in the 10th chapter, it's quite cryptic in some ways. But when you really move towards self-realization beyond the illusion of this world, and you see that this world is And we're not talking about the earth. We're talking about the experience of the world. When you see that it's transitory in nature, impermanent in nature, has an evident beginning, middle, and end. What you are seeking, I don't mind to use that word, it's not a dirty word, within is that imperishable, untouchable, absolute being. And one dynamic step to that realization is love. And I would say we don't use the word unconditional love anymore. We use the word divine love, which is even better than unconditional. Divine to me, means undividable. So it is always seeking within the heart that which never changes. And that's very subtle and can definitely be brought into experience, so to speak, through the love of God and the true love of God and the it's not uninterested. What is it? Help me.
Disinterested.
Disinterested. Yes, disinterested. Not uninterested, disinterested. Devotee who permits life to move through them. Remember the story of Narad was talking with Krishna. And he said, I'm going off to see my disciples. And he went and he saw this old guy who was like, japa, 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 all his life, japa, 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 attempting to get somewhere, japa, 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 japa. And Narad said, how long do you think that you will do that? And when will you realize your true nature? And he says, it should be any minute now. And Narad says, well, it might be lifetimes, just continue. So then he goes off to another disciple who's a young guy. And this guy's just enjoying his meditation, enjoying his japa, just enjoying what he's doing. He's really with it. It means something to him. And he's under this wonderful tree. And Narad says, how long do you think it'll take before you realize your true nature? He said, I don't care. He says, maybe a million lifetimes. And he was enlightened in that moment. You remember that?
Well, that's great, because that's very similar to the conversation Krishna has with, because Krishna talks about maybe one person in a thousand will be on the path, and then of all those one persons, maybe one person will realize their true nature. And you know, I read that and I think, well, what chance do I have? And because Arjuna says that too, what if I have faith, but I don't struggle enough? And Krishna says, well, don't worry about it. It may take lifetimes. You know,
Yes.
the important thing is to be on the path,
That's right. And be in a state of love with God. Whatever that means to you, whether that is the divine Jesus or the great, great, great Buddha or one's own heart or nature, one's own life, whatever it may mean to one.
Yeah, because if I can jump in there, because this is so amazing, because
You're jumping in. Thank you.
well, because he says, because Krishna says, but it does not matter what deity or what deity a devotee
They're
chooses
all
to
me.
worship. If he has faith, I make his faith unwavering. You know,
That's right. And all of them say it.
this is not a jealous God. This is like it
That's
like
right.
it's
Beautiful.
it, whatever.
How beautiful what you say. And
To whether.
he says, well, he says the celestial gods help people on earth. I am all of those celestial gods. The I am. It just gives me cold chills. I am the faith that is installed in those. That's about, excuse me if I don't want to sound trite. I don't mean to at all. He's not speaking about a guy named Krishna. He's speaking about a magnificent being that dwells in every single heart once one will devote in that way. And we can call him Krishna, we can call him Jesus, we can call him our very nature, we can call him the imperishable, we can call him Lord Ganesha, we can call him Mother Durga, all the names are of one total being. And in this way, you are correct that it's all the same, but it's not all the same. It's like the foot has a toe, a little toe, a middle toe. Each toe has its place, but yet it's all a foot.
But it because I always think of, I'm always raised in the tradition of, the God of Abraham, who tended to be, a jealous God, like, you worship me and no one else. But I think what Krishna saying, like, it doesn't matter if you have faith in a deity, I will make that faith even better.
That's right. That's right. And I will be the deity myself.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, he's speaking from the I am all that is. The 10th chapter, I think you'll like the 10th chapter a lot. He goes, oh my God, it's so beautiful. It's unbelievable. It's my favorite. I used to sit on the Ganges and read the 10th chapter just
But
day after.
even in this one, some of the poetry here, I'm the essence of the waters, the shining of the sun and the moon. I'm the Om of all the Vedas.
Yes.
It is I, it just goes on and on. It's wonderful.
And he's speaking about you. All scriptures are speaking straight to you about yourself, about the fundamental nature that's within you. And the word contained bothered me about the gunas being contained in Krishna. I would have chosen, maybe somebody else would have chosen another, but I would have chosen another word because this containment, he's free of containment. This is my point. So are you, by the way, and so are you.
No, it's wonderful stuff. I mean, it really is.
Oh yeah. I'm glad you're reading the Bhagavad Gita.
Well,
Einstein read it. Let me see. Steiner read it. Oh, there's so many marvelous people who read the Gita, who have and found it very, very
Yeah, I know. And the one I have, the Aldous Huxley does the prelude to it. It's a wonderful, yeah. It's very juicy, this book.
You can see. Oh. Stay with it.
I will. Thank you so much,
You're welcome.
Shanti. Bye.
Wanting to get out at least at part one of chapter 9 before I go to Ohio. We'll see.
Namaste. Love you, Shanti Mai.
Namaste. Love you too. Magdalena. Thank you, Michael. Hello, Magdalena. Hello. Are you there? Please?
Yes.
Yes. Just speak now. It's
Yes,
good.
yes.
You've been there for at least 30 seconds.
I
Maybe.
voted for you this morning.
Ah, that's beautiful. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
I was very touched that you were chanting for Christine and her passing, and thank you for the mantra of passing, and
Yes.
also what the imperishable and all what we are speaking of. It comes very close in this situation when someone is passing. It's to have this perspective.
Someone and something is passing constantly.
Yes.
And when we know someone, it reflects like a mirror into our own mortality.
Yes.
Yes, and the Dharma, we'll speak about this
Mm-hmm.
Dharma that is intrinsic in the breath. And your devotion brings a fearlessness about your own mortality. Not an inconsideration, not a ref not a unreflective, not a dismissal, but a deep and powerful disinterest in having full faith in the cosmos as a perfectly calculated and moving, let's say being that is perfect in every way, Om Purnamadaha. And we, again, the disinterested devotee moves with whatever is or is not. So when our friends pass, it gives us an opportunity to look at our own mortality. And that's what happens anyhow. That's what happens in grief. Sahara was saying one day that we grieve in two ways. We grieve for the person. We never grieve for the person. We grieve for ourselves. The person needs not our grief. We grieve for ourselves. We grieve the love in our heart for them, but not really for them. For ourselves. It's all alchemy in the heart and soul when we have to consider, and what a consideration it is, and reflect about our own mortality. But that has to do with the body, and that has to do with the name, and that has to do with whatever this body has encountered in a lifetime and called my life. Let us not forget again that wonderful term, the imperishable, inexhaustible, undoubtable, absolute within us, as us, as the truth that dwells within us that never, ever, ever is born and never, ever, ever dies. Body will go, no doubt. That being said, doesn't make an excuse. Body's going, it's heading out. It's going back to the earth from which it came. It's borrowed. Everything that we experience in our life is borrowed from this planet, including our body, our food, our air, everything.
Yes.
Yes, and we are the indweller, the indwelling witness of life. Fear not. And my view, maybe Sahara has a different view. Sahara will tell me later what he meant by that, in the sense, and probably I will agree. Probably I will agree because he's well considered. But I would say that all grief has to do with me and me alone. And my broken heart, which is true. And my missing, which is true. And that hole in my life, which is true. And the memories that I have, which are true. And that which is departed has never been born. Wake up. Love you.
Love you.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Like a cucumber being clipped off the vine is what this mantra says. This mantra talks about the Cucumber being clipped off the vine. Adikari.
Namaste, Shantimai. My question is about faith.
So, Adi, who's with you?
That's Sheila.
Hi, Sheila.
I'm loving this. I'm loving you.
Me too. I love you too. Adikari, please carry on.
So my question's about faith. So it's interesting, some of your conversation with Michael. I have a deep sense of who I truly am beyond all words.
I that makes my heart soar through this moment. I am so touched that you cease to deny that, Adi, and I know you very well, and I know that you're a humble and wonderful, wonderful being, and I'm very touched that you refuse to deny.
That is true. I refuse.
Very great, very great step inward, Adi, a leap.
And now what I want with all my heart is to have unwavering faith in this, because what I know.
Oh, well, you have to, otherwise you'll deny it.
Yes.
Yeah. Cease to deny. That's faith enough. You don't get an idea about, don't design what the faith should be. Cease to deny. That's it.
Okay.
Excuse me. It just came out like that.
No, so let me give you just a little concrete example.
No, I don't want your example. I just, you ask a question, I give you the most direct answer. In whatever your example that you're about to give me, because I don't want to cut you off, I want to get it clear for you, straight for you. Whatever example that you are going to elaborate for me, thank you. But in that example as well, cease to deny.
Yes. So what that means to me is I cease to deny even times where there might be anxiety. Because that
comes with life, Adi.
Yeah.
It just does. And for everybody. But cease to deny what you told me in the very beginning. I heard from your heart to my heart. Very straight, very clear. Stay there.
Okay.
And you may have anxiety and you may have this or that. Cease to deny. This is called devotion.
And that's the faith too.
Well, it can be faith. You can call it what you like. However, be careful not to design a faith so that it has to look like this.
Okay, well, tell me if I'm, what I want is this that I know in my being, in my heart, that's undeniable, to guide my every actions.
Well, it does. What do you think, that every action should be what?
You know, I realize.
No. Come home. Come to me.
Okay. I guess what I was, seeing that it should be free of anxiety, but that's not true. It can still be anxious.
It should be free within everything and all existence, and knowing from your heart and your experience that this I cannot deny.
That's 100%.
If I shall die of cancer, if I shall get hurt, if I shall have a marvelous life, this I cannot deny. I cannot deny it. I am not permitted to deny it, nor is it possible for me. There is your faith.
Okay.
And you're a pillar of, you're the angel of Baltimore, for crying out loud. The worst city in the United States, one of them. And I've tried so hard to get you out of there, but you just stay and stay and shine for everyone. And if you have anxiety, you have anxiety. Sometimes we just do, Adi.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, the faith is unwavering. So I think what I was doing is...
wavering your faith?
No. Looking at... I could give you a funny example, but it's probably not...
No, go ahead and give me the example. This time I listen. I just didn't want you, I wanted to remain on the point and not waver. That's why I didn't want to hear the example, because I don't want anything to cloud the direct point. That's all. Go ahead and give me the example.
Well, it's very clear to me, love makes my decisions. So love made the decision about next weekend. And then travel comes up, and
what is all this?
No, it's just an example where, but it doesn't affect my faith, so I just drop it.
No, it's a thought way out in the future. Are you traveling somewhere soon?
Yeah.
Where?
To Cleveland.
Yeah, but Cleveland, I mean, my God, it's only a hop, skip, and a jump.
I know. but I take the...
came back from India, and you're concerned about Cleveland?
Yeah, but that's because I'm driving myself to the long-term parking and then getting from the long-term parking to the airport.
Adi, pick me up in the airport all the time and take me to your home.
I know.
Stop it. Why are you creating anxiety? You're going to do just fine. You know, well, you will.
What I notice sometimes, I create anxiety. So, but it doesn't.
Well, then enjoy the anxiety. Really?
No.
Yeah. Why to do that?
I don't know. I don't know why to do that.
Yeah. Why would you bother with all of that? Go a little early in case you... Always go early. I always go early. I never, never, never like intro. Like, like to go just on time. No, 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 no. Go early. Don't take Indra's example this time.
Yeah. Well, I'm driving myself, so I can go anytime I want.
That's right. Go early. We really covered a lot, didn't we? I love you, Adi.
Thank you.
Yeah, stop creating problems. I mean, my gosh. You're going to drive into the driving parking lot, and then they're going to either shuttle you over, or you're going to be right there, and you're going to get on the plane and come to Cleveland. I mean, how long does it take to get from Baltimore to Cleveland? Hour and a half?
Less than that.
Yeah, I imagine.
I know it's a little bit ridiculous example, but I'm glad I put it out there.
It was a lot ridiculous, Adi. Not a lot. You do everything wonderfully. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't touch my faith. Yeah.
Well, if that would touch your faith, I would say you better faith up or something like that. Yeah. But maybe something so imminent could create an anxiety that would, what, create a doubt? Is that what you're saying? No, I didn't think so.
No, I think it's seeing that everything, I mean, om pranamadaha pranamidam, even an anxious feeling, it's okay.
Of course it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, you go to that mantra and you open that mantra door and you take a sit there and have a breath there, everything works out, whether it's up or down.
Right, and whatever happens.
Exactly.
That's the way you want to live.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the way I see you.
I sit in that like you do.
Worry not, Adhikari.
Thank you, Shantimai.
You're welcome. I'm going to send you by Skype a wonderful photograph. I wonder if I can get it up. I wonder if I could get it up now. It's such a wonderful photograph. Why? Because this guy is sitting in a, I don't see it now. He's this yogi sitting in a snowstorm without sleeves. His beard is frozen. His head is full of snow. It's snowed up to his chest. He has no sleeves on and he's meditating. And some people just won't change a little bit of their mind. You look at him, you would be so inspired.
Yeah, particularly for me who wears long johns in spring.
Mm-hmm. Very funny, Adi, very funny. I gotta go. Max and Gabrielle are waiting. Namaste. Namaste.
Namaste, Shantimai.
How are you?
I'm always happy when I'm here with you in satsang. Always.
I love that part. That's one of my very favorite parts. Yeah. Mm. It's that you love being here on in satsang.
I do. I'm going to miss you. So that's also why I put up my hand in the end, because I'm not going to see you for 2 weeks. And I have something very important to say. Thank you so much for the last transmission. Thank you so much. How much there is in one sentence and one word. It's just, it gives me goosebumps. There is so much. I could, of course, not digest it all in this time, but there is a part that is like, especially for me.
Okay. I have to give my very dear divine friend Anand a big credit.
Absolutely.
That there are, he's the root of this transmission. That's why I'm smiling so big.
Yes.
And I wrote to Anand and I said, Anand, may I speak about what we've spoken about? He says, I would be honored if you would speak about. So it doesn't belong to him. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to everyone. And it's very important, isn't it?
It is. There's such richness in these few words and in, well, the three stages or qualities of the Bahag. That's it. And I can't speak about any of this. The one part that was especially for me was about receiving, being receptive. And so when there's something, how do you receive the Gita? How do you receive Krishna's offerings? And if some exquisite vastness touches your heart, Krishna's offering, I would suggest not to fight with it. And of course, I remembered immediately how I told you last week that I was a bit unenthusiastic.
Well, actually, I was speaking to you.
Yes.
Gabrielle, when someone brings something like that to satsang, it's for many of us because these are initiation portals, so to speak. I don't like to use kind of flitty language, but they are. They're areas of really deep initiation when a sense goes, a realization that's what is in place is realized rather than putting it in place. What is in place is realized. That's a true initiation, and it's self-initiation. Initiation means I begin from here, and this is something. It's like when the judge hits the gavel on the bench. Why does a judge hit the gavel after the court? Because it's not like it was, and it is like it is now, is the meaning of the gavel. From here, boing, it's different. That's the gavel. That's what the gavel means. So these initiations have the same quality.
So what you said was not to fight with it, let it take its place in you. Because this is where those who are truly moving within to discover the realization of truth in the heart, they're calling for this, and I totally feel that.
Yeah, of course.
And it's also, I can see the stages. There was a point when I said, I really want this. Like let's do it, let's do it. That is a very impatient stage of, I really want to know. And I start realizing, oh, I will never know, not in the sense that I wanted to.
That is so wonderful, because you already know whatever it is that is being delivered to you in your memory. It may not be evident, but it is cosmic memory. It is, all of those initiations are a moment of, oh, of course. Yes. And not even got it. Sometimes we can say that, but we know better than that, because it's already in place. So yes. So just to tune people into our conversation here, the three stages are animal. I'm with Indra and Anand and Drupada and Mario and myself. And we always gather every year that I'm there. We have an evening of like-minded people. Like I said, we listen to each other deeply. We offer each other, and we see things from different angles, but into the same place, so to speak, same place. Not good language, but we'll go with it. And Anand said there are three stages to the Bhagavad Gita. 2 minutes we talked about the Gita and the Bhags and the Vad, the Bhagavad. What is it? What is a Bahag? Six stages or six meanings to the Bahag, which can blossom into, Lord knows, an infinite amount of, let's say, information. And I didn't say anything to a nun that night. I said, three stages. He said animal, hero, and deva. And I thought, what's the animal? You know? But I let it go, and then I contacted him, and he made a recording, and I listened to it. And yeah, and the interesting thing about this is King Dhritarashtra, the blind king, was enlightened in the end.
He was?
Yeah, your faces went, woo!
He so didn't care.
Oh, it's King Dhritarashtra was a very, very, very great soul. Mm. He was still hanging on to, I want to win. I will kill my relatives for this postage stamp of land. They will never get it. And he realized his true nature in the end.
Wow.
That gives us a lot of, as Michael O'Shea would say, juice. I love that. Yeah, the story of the Mahabharata is very, very interesting. And hard to kind of capsulize. One fellow says, and he's a scholar, he's a Sanskrit scholar and an Indian traditional historical scholar. He said, none of the Bhagavad Gitas, or not the Gita, none of the Mahabharatas are real representations of what went on in that war at that time.
Mm.
It's very big, it's very complex. But the Bhagavad Gita, so the animal in the Gita is the one who runs after his desires and his divisions and his self-importance, and he'll do anything for it. Huh? The hero is the one who receives and moves in that way. And then the deva is Krishna in his yogamaya. I love the term yogamaya. It's so contradictory. I just love it that he says that. Yogamaya, my absolute being, the imperishable in totality and the illusion that I am. Both is absolutely accurate. I love it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, me too. Yeah. And I so love that you give us this deepening explanations, because how would I know? How would I know what Bhagava means, or Bhaga?
Isn't that joyful? Bhaga. Bhaga.
Yes.
It's meaning to Bhaga.
Yes. Uh-huh. And I love these words. I also just, I love them. Love the explanations. The qualities. Yeah. Yes. It's so rich.
All
Such...
of it is in this little BHAG. We can add the A. Seven letters.
It's incredible. And it's been half an hour of transmission. Could have been 10 times as much, just so much in there.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much.
You're so very welcome. Thank you, Anand. And
yes,
we gather together. It's a wonderful time, isn't it, Indra? Wonderful, wonderful time. There. Sri and Bhavata shared a file. Hold on there, Natarajji. Sri, where is that file?
It'll be in the chat.
Where is
it? In the chat? It's the pictures that you shared, Guruji.
I don't see a chat, so. Chat. Mine says notes, whiteboard, apps, reaction, summary, share screen, security, stop video, and mute.
Can I show you?
So, yeah, you can show me. Oh, I see something. It says 3.
Yeah, if you go here.
Thank you.
And then you'll have to probably click on the file. Yeah.
There he is. Yeah, there he is. Can you see it on the screen? No, you can't.
Mm-hmm. You could open it and then share your screen. Would you like me to share?
Okay,
it?
They can open it up.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's the yogi. So, Nataraj, namaste. How are you?
Namaste, Shanti Mai. Can we do a language check?
Okay. You gonna clean my language up?
No, just through the course of this morning, as you were speaking, this isn't really why I raised my hand, but so this, here it is. This disinterest right now appears to be absolute.
Well, the good. But remember the term devotee. That's the key term.
Well, yes, but so in the language check, the devotee is a given.
That's a good thing to hear.
Okay. So, when you were talking about the progression of the yugas, something that's sort of been bubbling for, I think, decades, but you touched on this repeatedly in satsang in India, and that was the holding of this shift of the fifth dimension. And so in this contemplation of this, along with the disinterest in it all, it appears to me that this time and this part of this Kali Yuga and everything seems to be encoded in the DNA.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. I don't know if I said anything about the fifth dimension. I did say about the shift in consciousness. And maybe I did. Absolutely, absolutely encoded in the DNA. Absolutely, 100%. Otherwise, we couldn't deal with it. We just couldn't deal with it. We would be ruined. We couldn't look at anything from a state of love. We couldn't, because it's so horrendous what's going on the planet right now. No matter what your side is or your position is, whatever. It's just horrendous where human beings are nowadays. And it's not just political. It's people are killing each other. It's the craziest. And they say it gets worse in the Kali Yuga. But the Kali Yuga gives you the opportunity to turn away from it.
And it's absolute.
Absolute. And go back to the Gita. Krishna references this in his way. He says that, and this is, everybody can see it. He says that even if you stop in the middle of your spiritual evolution, let's use the word evolution, and just say, I'm done with it. Your next birth, you will be compelled, even beyond your own desire, to move in that direction because of the auspicious way that you lived up until that moment, that you will bear the fruit of that, and even beyond your own desire or knowledge or direction. That makes sense to me. That makes a lot of sense to me. That makes sense to me in my own life, because I don't know how to say it, but I could not imagine myself being in the life that I'm in. But my guru said, it's because you have lived many lives like this, Shantimai. And my astrologer said the same. And then I think it must be because there was no compelling on my side at all as a young person to whatever it is that I'm doing, if I'm doing anything. There was no direction or desire. When I met my master, I only wanted to sit with him. That's all. And I did. I did for years and years without any disruption or intrusion or any other persons around. That's what I did. And I'm very grateful for that. And he was available for that. So.
So in that contemplation of what we just talked about, did he share things with you about this time and this
time? Yeah, absolutely.
I was very interested in if you had more on that from him.
Mostly he would say to me, Shanti Mai, this is not only in the earth. He says, this is the entire universe. And he said, look at the COVID situation. And he said that there is a shift in consciousness at this time. And that people will either decide to go that way through their propensity or their past lives or their desire this life, or they won't. And it's all God still. Nothing changes that. This is the dreaming of the creator, Brahma. If you want to say Brahma, you can say creator. You don't have to use a Hindu term. The Aboriginals know it. They call it the dreaming, the ant dreaming, the tree dreaming, the oak dreaming, the cloud dreaming, the earth dreaming, the songline dreaming, the human dreaming, the tribal dreaming, although they don't like the word tribe. They call themselves mobs. Mm-hmm. Our mob and that mob, this mob and that mob. I guess they figure that these crazy people that are all around them understand that better than anything else. But anyhow, yeah. I have three more people to... No, I don't. I have two more people to consider. Thank you for the photos. I agree.
This might be a little bit off, but I need to deliver a quick message. There's a piece of me that's missing, and the piece of me that's missing is Supermax, and he better get a hold of me.
Okay. He got it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Namaste, Shanti Mai. Thank you so much for speaking on that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you for bringing up that point. I mean, it just gushes out. Absolutely. 100%. Our DNA is a kind of life print and guide. Absolutely.
It occurred to me because ever since I was really young, this was in me. Contemplating and I would sit there and I would ask these questions about how does this take place? How is this possible? How is it possible that there's these, well, you know, like in quantum, they talk about these parallel dimensions all happening at once. But, you know, I would sit there and I would ponder this shift and how could that happen in just a flash of a moment?
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know if it's a flash of a moment or a million years.
I don't know either. But
in you, it can be a flash of a moment or it can be a million years.
Love you.
Love you too. Namaste. Ellen. Yes. And Anna, and that will be the end of the satsang. It will be a long satsang today. Go ahead, please. Please go ahead.
Do I have to unmute?
Yeah.
How do I do that? Let's see.
Can you unmute yourself? Or otherwise, I'll go ahead to the next person and come back to you. Because.
Namaste.
Learn how to do that. Namaste. Because, yes, go ahead.
I was not.
No problem.
Oh, namaste. I was so touched with Adhikari, what she spoke. And I'm dealing with this kind of anxiety too. And then the other people that talk about the being receptive or not, that you said in the transmission. I don't listen to your transmission, but I'm thinking I'm always fighting. I'm fighting. I perceive that I'm fighting with myself, with myself, and creating problems, and also fighting with the sadhana once you gave me, once you told me.
There's not much I can do about that. You have to do something about it, or you don't have to do anything about it at all. But
yes. But I just want to tell you an experience of yesterday.
Okay.
That was time I didn't fight. I surrounded and I went to dance. The sadhana you gave me was to dance. And I'm fighting with this sadhana. And then yesterday I said, I go dance early in the morning. I'm living nearby the beach. So I went in the sunshine to the beach. And then I was there with my mobile and which music I will put. And then I said, I want shoes. I just click. And then I clicked in some music, a very wonderful music. And then I start dancing. Then I was thinking a lot, how could I dance? I cannot dance. And then two dogs came around me and they just say hello and they were there. And I say, okay, thank you. I'm gonna dance. Then I start dancing. It was very beautiful. But I was still thinking. And then a big bird, in Brazil, it's called carcará. It's a kind of condor, but it's not a condor. It's Brazilian. And then one stayed in my left side and another in the right side. And then I said, oh, wow, I will start to dance. And then I start to dance and I was connecting to the dance, not thinking anymore. And then I was very...
Hold on. I want to come in here. I want to come in now. I was dancing and not thinking anymore. Go ahead.
Yes, just dancing. And then came lots of birds, two big birds flying just over my head. And then I thought, wow. They are flying and I'm dancing. This is their nature and this is my nature. And then I danced a kind of 1 hour, the same music, and it was very potent. I got tears now. In that time, I was getting tear dancing. And then I finished. I said, okay, it's done. The sun was incredible. And it was touching my skin. I was feeling, this was the beginning when I realized the sun was touching my skin and I start dancing this. Okay, so I touch myself. And then I start dancing, touching myself. Then I get very emotional. And then when I finish, I sit down near the sand. And many birds, kind of 13, passed by over my head. And they were a Brazilian bird that's called parrots, papagaio, very big ones. And they are very loud, noisy. They are very noisy. And they said,
Okay. Yeah, got it.
And then I think, oh, they are clapping for me. And then I was thinking, oh, and then today Adhikari said this, and I thought, yes, I just need to stop being anxious and just being myself. Because
yeah.
And I want to share with you another thing that I want to share is that there is a hummingbird that comes almost every day to my house and say hello, a very small one. And he comes around, and then he goes. Early in the morning, when I'm home, he comes. I don't know if he comes when I'm not home, but...
I love the hummingbirds. I have some hummingbird stories myself.
Nice. Yes, I know. You told me already once.
Thank you. Keep dancing. And at least reflect of what you're thinking. Where look at what you're thinking creates and the atmosphere it creates in you, and what you're dancing creates for even the sunset and the birds and the sand and the ocean. Are you there? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So take a look and see, what is my thinking? What's it create? What kind of atmosphere am I creating for myself? And then go to the beach, dance. What kind of atmosphere am I creating for all of nature? And I am benefiting. Very good. Yeah.
Thank you. Namaste. Namaste.
Anna. You're on, Anna.
Namaste, Shanti Mai. I wanted to ask, recently I've been thinking or became increasingly aware that all the seeking and the cravings and the desires essentially come down to craving for God, for peace, for unity, which was liberating in itself because it gives so much less importance to all these external things. But then the mind is very good at grasping, and then it grasps at that, and it gets frustrated with that, with, oh, I'm going to do my sadhana, I'm going to do my meditation, I'm going to do my yoga, and then I'm going to feel good. So there's expectation about that. So.
Yeah, then I'm going to feel good is, you can leave that off. Just drop that. The rest will work really well for you.
Okay. So I guess the question that I had in mind is, you started the satsang with the devotee, unconditional, disinterested devotee. And I would really like to be one versus the one who's seeking. Now it's God, but it's still seeking. So how to liberate from that seeking?
The problem with seeking God.
I'm sorry?
Is there a problem with seeking God?
No, but I feel mind is also grasping at it.
Well, then you know that mind is grasping at it. Put everything in its own place. Is there anything wrong with seeking God? That's called devotion. That's called discipleship, discipline. That's called moving in the right direction. That's in a good direction. We can say in a beneficial direction. I like the word benefit better because it works even when things are miserable. It's called moving with the Dharma. It's called the initiation of realizing what is true within me. Is there anything wrong with that?
No.
Is there anything right about it?
Yes. Or
it's just what it is, isn't it? What's your heart calling for?
Unity with God.
Yeah, and enjoying your yoga, making it a joy. Not making it a joy, being a joy, being joyful in the participation of these really fine qualities that you have. And also not identifying yourself with them. I mean, they're kind of natural for everybody. You know what I mean? You don't have to kind of see yourself as a spiritual person. But if you want to, you can. But you're going to probably have to drop that eventually anyhow. But you can keep on with it for a bit.
Okay.
But what you said was really important. My thoughts, because really, if you want to get right down to it, we don't know what mind is. We call our thoughts our mind. That's not really true. Those are just thoughts that travel through awareness. Mind could be all of existence and all of life and everything that you perceive. It could be. According to the Chan masters, it would be called the absolute total God. Although you don't use the word God so often. So your thoughts fight and with it, saying that, well, that's also a desire. It is. That's true. It is a desire. It is a desire that will, well, keep it simple, benefit you. And particularly when you don't identify with it as being who you are, but that it is benefiting you and your friends and your home and your environment, you know. Enjoy your yoga.
Thank you.
It's a science. It's not just an exercise. It's a real physical science. And whatever that you may participate in that is touching your heart, I would not just dismiss it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Namaste.
Namaste.
So you can also see by going, as Antisa showed me, going to the chat, you can see the man who's meditating. It's a real snowstorm. I took this off of, excuse me, a video, so I could see the snow coming down. And he's just sitting there with I just love this photograph. So, Primo, I will see you Sunday after next.
Jay Vigna Nasaka Jay Gandanaya Ka Jay Vigna Nasaka Gachavadanda Gauri Nandana Gachavadanda Gauri Nandana Gachavadanda Gauri Nandana Gachavadanda Gauri Nandana Gangadhar Shiva Shambho Shankara Gangadhar Shiva Shambho Shankara Jai Gananaya Ka Jai Vikna Nasaka
Gachavadana Gauri Nandana Gangadhara Shiva Shambho Shankara Gangadhara Shiva Shambho Shankara Jai 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 Gandanda Jai Vikna Nasaka Jai Gandanayaka Jai Vikna Nasaka Gachavadana Gauri Nandana Gachavadana Gauri Nandana Gachavadana Gauri Nandana Gachavadana Gauri Nandana Gangadhara Shiva Shambho Shankara Gangadhara Shiva Shambho Shankara Gangadhara Shiva Shambho Shankara Gangadhara Shiva Shambho Shankara Jai 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 Gananda Yaka Jai 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 Gananda Yaka Jai 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 Gananda Yaka Gachavadana Gauri Nandana Gachavadana Gauri Nandana Gachavadana Gauri Nandana Gachavadana Gauri Nandana Shambho Shankara Gangadhara Shiva Shambho Shankara